listening to Alien X Radio, and this is your afternoon interview. On the line now, I've got my first guest of the show, actor Sean Whalen. How you doing, sir?
How you doing, Alien Sound?
I am awesome.
What's the weather like up there?
It's actually finally starting to warm up, finally.
By warm up meaning?
Oh, yeah, like 60s.
Oh yeah, because we're at 85 today. Sorry.
but you know what's really sad is we already had an 85. That's what happens to us. We have like 30, then it goes to 80, and then it takes us back to 60, and it rains for a month.
Yeah, that's not fair. It's kind of like nature teasing you.
Yes, it really is. Well, thank you very much for taking the time. I know that you had some business to take care of earlier. You don't mind talking about that a little bit? I thought you had
It was just a callback for a commercial audition for Coco's, the chain restaurant. And I don't even know if you have Coco's out there. I know it's in California, but we'll see how it went. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, we don't have no Coco's out here. The closest thing, Cocoa Puffs.
Yeah.
And we're all cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Yes, exactly.
All right, well, you know, I made a mistake. Usually when I'm researching, you know, to get all the details on movies, I go to someone's IMDb page, and
sure.
I made a mistake of just hitting print instead of perusing it first, so you owe me an entire package of paper.
Uh-oh.
You have been in pretty much everything.
So, well, that's how it seems. Well, just because everything repeats all the time, people are like, oh, you're working day and night. And I go, well, they do repeat a lot now on cable and stuff. So it the more you've been in, the more, you know, I'm on TV every week on something.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Either a rerun of a movie or, you know, so I guess that's a good thing.
Yeah. The more your face is out there, the more people want your face in their movies.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's only a good thing.
Or the more they see it, they get repulsed. It's like, you know, being punched. Either you get used to it or you just can't stand it anymore. So I don't
right.
know. I don't know which it is.
Either you make your way to being champion of the world or you get out of the ring.
That's right.
All right. So, yeah, you got a huge, long list of stuff here. I'm actually going to start with in 1991,
uh-huh.
the people under the stairs, you creeped me out and everybody I know.
Yes.
Yes. What,
but I was the nice guy. I was the nice, creepy guy. I didn't start out that way. It was what we call in the business a bait and switch. You think that I'm a bad, weird, creepy guy, and I turn out to be the nice, good guy who actually dies saving people. So.
Yeah.
That was the essence of Roach.
Yeah, and you couldn't. How hard was it to talk and stuff? I mean, you had this, obviously you had, I don't know what it was on your tongue to make it look like your tongue got cut off. It was like
a glove prosthetic thing that slipped over my tongue, like a little glove. And, you know, it was all painted. And I remember watching the guys painting it with all the little purple and veiny stuff to make it look like my tongue had been cut off.
Gross.
Yeah, pretty gross. And I ended up wearing that the entire film because it was easier to wear that because then I could actually try to talk to him and communicate, but that would stop me from actually talking. So I thought, well, I'll just keep that on and do what I would normally do. And it worked out pretty well.
Sweet. But like I said, yeah, sometimes the good guys still are creepy, like you said. You creep people
out. Yeah, it was still creepy. It's not. I'm not Prince Charming by any stretch of the word.
Oh, no, it was all makeup.
Yeah, pretty much, except it was only the fingers that were made up. But as a fan pointed out recently, he's like, wow, those prosthetics are gnarly. He's like, look at those messed up teeth and gums. And I was like, those are mine.
Thanks, pal. Thanks, pal.
Yeah, thanks, dude.
Appreciate that.
Yeah.
So obviously you're not always in a role where the camera's right on you all the time. You were in Batman Returns, it says here, and mm-hmm. I've seen Batman Returns, and I must not be paying attention.
I'm the newspaper guy throughout the whole movie. Every time the movie starts with Alfred talking to a newspaper boy, and that's me. And then throughout the movie, they keep coming back to me. Showing because I keep showing the headlines about the Penguin and Catwoman and stuff like that, so it's you know like a through line character.
Man, I don't know where I was.
Well, I mean, I look totally different because my hair's all slicked down and I have like a little newspaper boy cap on, like the 20s kind of cap. So
you know, now
a lot different than Roach.
Yeah, you know, now if I watch the movie now, I'll see you immediately, and suddenly you'll be the star of the entire movie.
Yeah, exactly.
You'll be popping out. Of course, moving into television just a little bit, you've been on stuff like Friends and Just Shoot Me, Spin City, and you were actually on my very favorite of all the Star Trek series, which was Enterprise. That was actually my favorite.
Wow, yes. That was your favorite.
It was. My least favorite is The Next Generation, so I'm a flip-flop.
Wow,
most people.
You are a minority.
Yeah.
So, yeah, do you remember the one, Zumas, the guy who talked all the time? He was in a slave ship, and he was chained next to, well, the young guy. I forget his name of the character on the show. The younger guy from Enterprise was trapped on a slave ship, and there was an alien, because I was under 100% prosthetics, and he's just talking. And he was getting really annoyed because he was handcuffed next to this guy, and that was me.
Sweet.
Zumas, the talkative alien.
Just rambling around.
Yeah. Just rambling, bothering him.
But honestly, which was your favorite of the series?
Television series?
Yeah, of the Enterprise series. Which one was your favorite?
I kind of went, I knew the old school. I mean, I knew the original.
Yeah, you were a Kirk and Spock guy.
Yeah, when I was a kid, I watched a lot of the reruns of the original Star Trek. That's the one I knew the best. And then I wasn't really into Generations, or I didn't really stay into Star Trek, actually, when I was older. I think it was just timing. You know, I was in college or something, and I wasn't really that into it. But to me, I just know the original the best.
Sweet.
I love the new movies, though.
Yeah, my brother would be in your corner, though, man. He said after Kirk, that was it. All the other captains didn't matter.
Yeah. Well, I can totally appreciate, Next Generation. I thought, when I would see some, I would go, wow, that's super cool. Like, that they were really able to actually do another one that was of such quality, and then Enterprise, it wasn't just on my radar by then. I was already, I think I had a kid already, so I wasn't really watching too much Star Trek at the time. So, but it was a fun show to be on, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I bet it was.
Well, their big thing, though, was you don't, and I come from an improvised background, Groundlings in Los Angeles, where you improvise a lot. That was not the case at all. They you had to get every line exactly right. They were sticklers for their script, so that was pretty interesting because I had full-page dialogue, monologues and stuff, so it was pretty intense.
Wow, yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
So there wasn't too many one takes going on.
This one thing, it's called a one take, and they actually did have one long shot where I started this speech and they kind of went through the slave ship, over other slaves, panning through, and then ended on us. So if I screwed up any line in that series, they had to take the whole thing back and start over. It was like a 2-minute take. It was pretty intense. Under 100% prosthetics.
Wow.
So it was pretty heavy duty, but I did it. I don't know how. You never know how. When I think about it now, I get nervous. I'm like, oh god. But I obviously did it. So
yeah, sweet.
You always find it in yourself to figure it out.
Now I was telling you just before we came back from the break that earlier today I actually watched Jury Duty, and I mean that one scene you have where Pauly Shore is dressed up as a chick that came to visit you in jail for your conjugal visit, and you didn't know it was him. Oh my god, how fun was that?
It was pretty fun, actually. That scene, like I was saying, was not in the movie. I kind of liked, to be real honest, I was actually bummed when I got the scene sent to me because I didn't want to talk ever. The whole point of the character was kind of like he wasn't going to talk and he was just weird and creepy, and I felt that kind of took away from the creepiness. But then when we got there and it was fun. Polly was fun, and we actually had a good time doing it. But my initial thing was like, oh man, I don't want to talk. I want this guy to be, one of those creepy guys that it's even scarier because he just keeps glaring at you from across the courtroom. But it ended up being pretty fun.
Yeah. Also, there's another scene too where you're handcuffed to your prosecution or whatever the defense's table, and Pauly Shore is making faces at you, and just the way you're trying to pull from the chains. It was so funny because it reminds me a lot of like Tom Hanks when he got sucked into the floor in the Money Pit, and it was his little hands were. It was hilarious.
Yeah, it was fun. It was it was funny. They'd seen me in the milk commercial and knew I could do facial expressions, so that's kind of why they hired me. I was kind of offered that role from the milk commercial, from the Aaron Burr milk commercial, directed by Michael Bay. So.
Well, yeah, if you're going to have a character that doesn't talk, then he sure as heck better be able to make some facial expressions.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
let's see.
My early career, the non-talking guy.
Yeah. I mean, moving through, I mean, like I said, you've got such a huge list. I'm just like popping on a few things here and there. 1996, you were in Twister.
Yep. That was my right after I had gotten married. I left for 4.5 months. We'd gotten married. We just moved into our place in March. Like the beginning, 6 weeks later, I was flying to Ponca City, Oklahoma, and was there for 4.5 months doing Twister. It was like the traveling circus came to town. We kind of took over the whole town.
Yeah, you kind of have to when the story is about a tornado.
Yes, exactly.
If you don't have a town, then what good is it? It's just, trees blowing around. You know, who cares about that, right?
Yeah, it was pretty crazy.
Let's see. We got The Cable Guy. We got a movie called this one I'm not sure of. It's a short. That's why called Dick Richards.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Gosh, I don't even remember that one. That was a short.
Come on.
Sometimes they kind of blur so many of them.
Yeah, we have a lot of independent film directors and stuff that call in and listen to the show and stuff, so they actually remember a lot of those shorts.
That's cool.
Let's see.
Hey, I love to. Hey, if they're listening, I love to work with independent filmmakers as long as it makes sense for both of us to come out. I'm not like crazy expensive, but it just makes sense for me to leave L.A. and leave the audition circuit,
Well, sure.
I love working with independent filmmakers. They're usually very creative and come up with some fun stuff, so.
And
they're listening.
And they won't make you talk when you want to be scary and not talk.
Yeah, exactly. And if they're like, man, he doesn't have to memorize any lines.
Now, obviously, like I said, you got some of these big movies like Twister, but you've actually been Men in Black